The Key, and the Name of the Key is Willingness, by Sherry Huber, read by the author. For all who follow this path, and for all who are approaching this path, these are some of the awarenesses that have been helpful to us in our practice. We're grateful for them and would like to share them with you. Please do not do yourself the disservice of assuming there is something to do that is more important than being right here, right now, present, aware, attentive, accepting. We spend our lives trying to alter externals, trying to get what we want, trying to manipulate the what's. Relationships, friends, lovers, money, possessions, values, opinions, ideas, hopes, dreams, children, jobs, death, education, etc. are what's. What's come and go? What's pass? What's are illusion? Peace, joy, and freedom lie in seeing the process, not just the content of life. We get so caught up in the specifics, the what's of life, that we can't step back and see the process, the broader view, the whole. We don't realize that we experience our lives the way we do, not because they actually are that way, but because that's how we see them. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's not what you see, it's how you see it. It's not what you think, it's how you think it. It's not what you feel, it's how you feel it. There's nothing wrong in the universe. Wrong exists only in our limited view. Some definitions. Wrong, not the way I want it. Right, how I think it should be. Fair, what I want. Good, what I like. Bad, what I don't like. These ideas we have about how things are and how they should be exist only in our minds and nowhere else. That voice in your head is not the voice of God. It just sounds like it thinks it is. Here's an exercise. What are your definitions of the following words? Not as defined by the dictionary or society, but as you honestly experience them. You might pause the recording after each one to see what your response would be. Wrong. Right. Fair. Good. Bad. Honest. Selfish. Need. Want. Security. Enough. Loving. Equal. Remember, these are your definitions. Nothing needs to change. You don't have to get better. You already are better. If you think you can do better, do better. Nothing real is stopping you. The only thing stopping you is the thought, the belief, that something is stopping you. What stops you is inside, not outside. When you get through with all this stuff, all these problems, such as job, education, husband, wife, house, children, payments, bills, promises, are you really going to be able to live? This stuff, these problems, are your life. When you get through with all this, you'll be through with all this. That's all. Love anything, hate anything. The effect on the thing you hate might be negligible. The effect on you, monumental. We're going so fast all the time, racing frantically toward a time when we can slow down. When we're going so frantically, with so much to do and so little time, it never occurs to us that what we really need to do is stop. Stop believing that the treadmill leads anywhere. Here's a little exercise. How do you slow down? How do you relax? How do you relax? How do you stop? And how are you kept from slowing down? How are you kept from relaxing? How are you kept from stopping? What do you believe about life or about yourself that stops you from being the person you want to be? What do you tell yourself about who you are or who you should be? And how does that get in your way? Being the fastest, the richest, the thinnest, the smartest on the treadmill won't prove anything. There's nothing to prove. Nothing to win. Nothing to get. What do you give up in order to fight this losing battle? To be bigger, stronger, smarter, righter, perfecter? The fact that someone else is right doesn't mean you're wrong. Perhaps you're both right. Perhaps you're both wrong. Perhaps you're both right and wrong. If anyone loses, everyone loses. No one wins unless everyone wins. No one, no thing can take your peace, your joy, your adequacy away from you. You have to give it up voluntarily. And we give it up so easily for just about anything. For other people's opinions, late meals, long lines, red lights. What you want to become is inside you. And you're already responding to it. Or you wouldn't be listening to things like this. The odds of anyone ever getting all or even most of what she or he wants at any given time are very slim. There are always irresponsible, late, rude, inept, stupid, uncooperative people. There's always a lack of parking places, appointments, money, promotions, weekends, dates, sex, affection. There's always an excess of criticism, judgments, things spilled on clothes, unexpected guests, red lights. We have no choice about what we get. We have absolute choice about what we do. When we're trying to get what we want out of life, life can be very hard. When we learn to want what we get in our lives, life can be very easy. Instead of the common, "I want what I want when I want it," we can learn to say, "I want what I get when I get it. I might not always like it, but I can always accept it. Here's a little exercise. What kinds of things do you give up your peace and joy for? Consider lifetime what's, such as job and family. Current what's, such as specific people or causes. Cosmic what's, such as death or religion. And everyday what's, such as the store you're hurrying to get to is closed, or you just spilled something on your favorite pants. Make a list if you'd like. Another exercise. How do you determine what you want? How do you feel and act when you get what you want? How do you feel and act when you don't get what you want? What do you give up in order to cling to your notions about what you want? It is easier to want what you get than to get what you want. When you want what you get, you've always got what you want because you've always got what you get. This is not to say that we shouldn't have or do. Always remember, there's no reason to do or not to do anything, to have or not to have anything. It's the process, the how, we're concerned with, not the content, not the what's. The process of wanting is different from the processes of doing and having. It seems that wanting results in having or doing. When we look more closely, we see that wanting only results in more wanting, in the increasingly demanding habit of wanting. Having or doing the object of wanting satisfies only briefly, and then the wanting recaptures our attention. These are the four causes of suffering. Not getting what you want. Getting what you want and not being satisfied with it. Being separated from those or that which you love. Having to endure the presence of those or that which you do not love. These four all come down to the same thing, not getting what you want. We think that wanting is the source of our satisfaction. In fact, it's the source of our dissatisfaction. One process does not lead to another. Wanting does not lead to having. Wanting leads to wanting. Having leads to having. Doing leads to doing. Being leads to being. Dissatisfaction leads to dissatisfaction. It's very important that we learn how wanting happens, rather than believing we must get what we want. To want is to believe that you are lacking, inadequate. The present moment lacks nothing. The present moment is all that is. First, find the contentment, the joy, the peace where you are. Experience what is, what actually is, not assuming there's a lack. Then decide what, if anything, you could want. What is, could be, should be, ought to be, might be, hope will be, wish could be, want to be, are postures we maintain to avoid accepting what is. To remain ignorant or ignorant of what is. In this way, we manage to avoid the only time in which we live. Our lives consist of what is in the present moment. Nothing but the way it is could ever be or should ever be. Shoulds just make us feel bad. This is it. Anything else is just our better idea. There's nothing wrong with the universe. The only, in quotes, wrong is in our thinking, in our believing in our better idea. Should is illusion fantasizing. Should is never Neverland. Should never has been and never will be. When we stop comparing what is right here and right now with what we wish were, we can begin to enjoy what is. We might as well enjoy it. It's all we've got. And we don't really know for sure that we don't want it because we've never fully experienced it. We've always been off looking at how we'd rather life were. If this is all we've got, it's also the best we've got. Why not enjoy it? Just because you don't like something doesn't mean there's something wrong with it. It just means you don't like it. A little secret between us. Regardless of what someone might think about what is, it is perfect. Until we learn to accept, we cling to things being the way they have been, or we wish they were, or want them to be, or hope they will be. We tense our muscles, dig in our heels, and resist. Then we believe the energy we've been putting into resisting change is actually maintaining the status quo. We begin to believe that we are holding things together. Then we conclude, I'm in control. This conclusion is an illusion. When we learn to accept everything that comes into our lives, we are free from the pain and suffering of resistance. Resistance doesn't work. We have two choices. Number one, we can accept what is. Number two, we can resist what is. Results of our choice? With number one, none. With number two, none except suffering. In acceptance, there's peace. In resistance, there's suffering. The choice is always ours. It's just that simple. And no one ever said it was easy. A little exercise. Take some time and jot down what you are resisting in your life. You, each moment, contain all that is, everything you seek. When you know that, you see perfection and complete adequacy all around you. When you don't know that, you spend all your time trying to manipulate externals so that you can get what you think you need to make you feel enough. In Zen, that process is known as adding legs to a painted snake, or putting another head on the one you already have. Say yes to life. It's not necessary or desirable to try to become someone you think is better than the way you are. Just be willing to find out who and how you really are. You might be surprised to find that when you let yourself be who you really are, not who you think you are, or who you're afraid you are, that you are quite an acceptable person. And with a little practice, you'll even realize that you are, in fact, a lovable person. The ways you think you are, not the ways you really are the bars on your own personal prison. Just because you think something is so, that you're bad, selfish, ugly, brilliant, superior, inadequate, doesn't mean it's so. It just means you think it's so. You are living your life. It's not that you're responsible for it in the sense that you're to blame or that you cause what happens in your life. It's just that your feelings, reactions, thoughts, attitudes, theories, standards, beliefs, likes, dislikes, wants, needs are yours. They create your world. They are what you call I or me. And it is this whole person that you must face honestly and learn to love and accept through compassion. When we waste all our time trying to be better, trying to improve ourselves, we're failing to make the only contribution we'll ever be qualified to make, our own. You don't have to change anything, especially yourself. You are the most perfect and only you ever produced. Be content with that. Idealizing about the perfect you just wastes your precious opportunity for a perfect now. Here's an exercise. Sit back, close your eyes, and let an image come to you of your perfect self, the idealized you you wish you were or think you should be. Picture what you and your life would be like. Then write that out or draw it. Now, let an image come to you that represents your worst self, the way you see yourself when you are awful. Picture yourself as the person you should not be. Write that out or draw it. We maintain by resisting. We maintain who we think we are by resisting who we really are. The more I try to become a better person, the more I resist who I am. The more I stay stuck where I am. When I say yes, when I embrace however I am, I've already changed. The moment I let go, everything is different, though probably nothing external changed. Consider where the change actually occurred. All I did was let go of my resistance. If you can't say yes, try, okay. It's a beginning. Now, take a couple of deep breaths and let an image come to you that reflects as clearly as possible how you really are. See yourself going about your daily life, doing what you do, thinking your thoughts, feeling your feelings. Write that out. Or draw a picture of that person. Can you picture what your life would be like if you accepted it? If you loved it as it is? Remember, acceptance is not resignation. Resignation happens with your head down. Acceptance happens with your head up. When you start being too successful, doing too well, getting too good at this process of letting go, there's a good chance you'll lose interest. Because if you really let go, if you really accept, you're going to change. And there's a good chance that's the last thing you really feel like doing. Why? When you let go in the way we're talking about, a little gap is left in your identity, in who you think you are. And even though we say we want to be different, when we actually begin to change, we often get pretty scared. And that's okay too. Say yes. Simply meet each experience, inside and out, body, feelings, and mind, with all the love and acceptance you can muster. And remember, if you feel like you could love more, love more. If you think you would like to work on your reactions, appreciate yourself for being willing. Be grateful for the awareness and love yourself for caring. Peace and joy are what's left when we stop doing everything else. Then why do we keep doing those other things? There is surely a payoff for maintaining life as we know it, especially the horrors, the shocking awfulness of the world. What would we talk about without them? What would be the daily news? Wanting always to be right, good, strong, smart, successful, loving, rich is like wanting always to have summer, daytime, sunshine, warmth, and 70 degrees. Not only is it impossible, it's boring. Until we have accepted where we are, we can't go anywhere else. As long as we're trying to get rid of something, we are ensuring that it will stay with us. When we accept where we are, we're capable of anything. We are all potential. We are no longer driven to be only one way, good, right, smart, strong. We can love ourselves when we're wrong as well as right, weak as well as strong, angry as well as peaceful. And this is good because there is no such thing as a one-sided coin. A wise little secret. You do not need to know anything to be wise. All you need to be wise is to accept. You don't need to have anything figured out or together. Love as much as you can from where you are with what you've got. That's the best you can ever do. Remember, it's the process, not the content, that counts. Total love and acceptance is the wisest thing you can do. It does no good to search frantically for peace, to seek anxiously after love, joy, or freedom. If you want joy, be joyful. If you want peace, be peaceful. It is good to be a person of means. If the end is never in sight, it doesn't matter. We do what we do for the joy of doing, not because we'll get a reward when it's over. If we're doing what we're doing to get a reward, the odds are really good that we'll be disappointed a lot. Intuitively, we know what's right. We don't know what's right for everyone or everything, though sometimes we act as if we think we do. It's not even necessary or desirable to know everything or anything for everybody. You know what's right for you each moment. Not necessarily fun or pleasurable, just right. Deep down in your bones, in your muscles, in your insides, in your heart. It might take some practice before you trust you have that knowingness, but if you pay attention, you'll see that it's already guiding you through life. To the degree that you know it, do it. Not because you should, but because it feels good to do what you know is right. An exercise. Recall some times when you knew in your heart what to do, but didn't do it. Times when you followed your head. How did you feel? Now, recall some times when you listened to your intuitive knowing and followed the guidance of your heart. How did you feel? Do you experience a difference between making a decision intuitively from the heart and rationally from the head? If so, what's that difference like for you? Here's a magic formula. To prove to yourself that you're a good person who doesn't need to be punished, choose to do what you know is right. If you want to continue to be unhappy, grab for the fleeting moments of whatever your heart is telling you aren't right for you, so that you can continue to see yourself as a bad person. When you're unhappy about something you've done, it's probably not because of what you did, so much as that you didn't listen to your heart when it guided you not to do it. Just do what your heart knows is right. You can do it for yourself and as a gift for everyone else. Do good and feel good and be happier and more willing and more loving and more forgiving and more accepting and more compassionate, and the whole world will feel better. When we are willing to let ourselves feel good, when we're ready to forgive ourselves for ancient crimes and sins, real and imagined, we begin to choose to do that which lets us feel good about ourselves. We do this not because we should. We do it because it feels good, because we want to. When it comes right down to it, it doesn't really matter to us what others think of us. They criticize us and we're defensive. They compliment us and we don't believe them. The only praise or blame we really accept is from ourselves. Freedom lies in seeing how we do liking and disliking, not in getting all the things we like or in getting rid of all the things we dislike. If you find something unacceptable, draw a bigger circle of acceptance. Just keep drawing a bigger circle until nothing is excluded. Consider what you can accept easily. Consider what you're working on accepting. And consider what still seems completely unacceptable. And then make some notes about what you are currently experiencing as unacceptable. You might make a note on your calendar and check back in 6 months or a year and see if all these unacceptables are still unacceptable or if some of them are inside the circle of acceptance. Remember, you don't have to give up the unacceptables. You'll just suffer with each one you cling to. Pushing away and holding on to are two sides of the same coin. They're both clinging. And we do suffer with each one we cling to. Don't waste your time trying to change anything. You don't even know who wants to change, or what you would change, or what the change would bring. You'd just be trading one opinion for another. Just draw a circle of acceptance around everything in your awareness. Just say yes. You don't have to do anything about anything. Just let everything be as it is. It is anyway. Let it be that way at least until you see how you're doing it. If you think you can feel better by doing something else or being something else or being somewhere else, then just feel better. Don't be confused that you need to do something else or be something else or be somewhere else. Just be content to feel better. This can save a great deal of time, energy, and money, by the way. Whether life is seen as an opportunity or a burden depends on one's point of view, not on one's circumstances. You've learned to walk, to talk, to dress yourself, to drive a car, to prepare food, perhaps to play a musical instrument, perhaps to speak another language, to do all sorts of things that in the beginning seemed insurmountable because you wanted to. If you see a problem, it's yours. If you think somebody should do something, remember that you're a somebody. Be what you want the world to be. Stop fighting. You are the only one standing between you and peace. When you can let things be as they are and not how you've decided they should be, you can begin to see that the only thing making you unhappy is your better idea. Once you see that your better idea is not better for anyone but you, you can begin to see other views, then all views, and then what views really are. All that is required is that you accept that which is totally unacceptable to you. There's a clue there. It says to you, not to everybody, not to the world or society, not to God, to you. That which is unacceptable to you exists only through the power you give it. If you stop making it a problem, it ceases to be a problem. All you must do is accept all that is unacceptable to you. We push our own buttons. In learning to take responsibility for our experience, our language misleads us because we say, he is handsome, the sunset is beautiful, she is angry, rather than, my experience of him is handsome. My experience of the sunset is beautiful. My experience of her is angry. Is that always true? Can't I ever experience something that isn't a part of me, that isn't, in quotes, mine? Yes, it is always true. No, we can't experience something that isn't a part of ourselves. It is helpful, when learning to take responsibility, to realize that our difficulties lie with our experience, not with externals. We want the externals to be the cause of who we are. In fact, the externals are the result of who we are. Seeing oneself as a victim is a choice, not a requirement. At any time, one can choose to be free. The only thing we can ever experience is ourself. You think your thoughts, feel your feelings, experience your experience. You never experience anyone else's. Everything you think, feel, do, see is you. Your thoughts, feelings, ideas, values, philosophies, opinions create your world. Everything you experience is as it is because that's how you experience it. Projection, or how we create the world we see. We experience the world the way we do because of who we are, not because of how it is. We project our thoughts, feelings, values, etc. onto everything. If we're unaware of this fact, we believe that what we see is true out there. Well, our projections at any given time might or might not be true for whatever we're projecting onto, but it's always true for the person seeing it. We must notice whose head it appeared in and whose mouth it came out of. Also, with projection, we tend to give away negative qualities and feel better, while we give away positive qualities and feel lacking. Once you know that what you're experiencing is the result of how you are, of how you see the world, you will be less involved with trying to change the content of your experience. You live in the world you have chosen. Your world continues to be the same, not because that's the way the world is, but because you continue to make the same choices. Anytime we attempt to cling to one side of a duality, we are clinging equally to its opposite. Remember, clinging and pushing away are the same. We hold on to someone we love and they leave us. We try to push something away and we can't get rid of it. We want only quiet, refined, intelligent people around us. We're plagued by loud, ignorant, rude people. Our standards create both groups. When we accept that life is simply sometimes this, sometimes that, we're free. What you see is who you are. Is the glass half full or half empty? That's an old exercise, but it remains a good one. Anything that happens could be experienced in millions of ways. What happens is not important. How we react to what happens is very important. It's not what we get that matters. It's what we do that matters. We can let go anytime we're willing. There is no way to get love and peace and joy and freedom. The way is to be love and joy and peace and freedom. The process, the means, is the point, not the end. If we really want to live differently, we're going to have to find the willingness to stop believing that we need to be criticized, punished, judged, beaten, and in all other ways, improved. The way out of this mess we find ourselves in is directly through the center. We are free the moment we are willing to accept all. No resistance at all to anything, including our own thoughts and feelings. What is, is. Many of us have learned to believe that we can be improved by cruelty, self-rejection, and abuse. We call this the Building a Better World Through Hatred school of thought. The slogan is, you can hate yourself into being a better person. The fact is that punishment will never make you a better person. If you're hating, you're doing being hatred. The only way to be loving is to love. Nothing real in the universe requires you to hate. Nothing real punishes, rejects, or is cruel to you or anyone else. Punishment will never make you a better person. There is no excuse for not loving. And not loving is no excuse for feeling bad. Beatings keep us from seeing that there is no such thing as a person who needs to be beaten. We will never learn to be loving through a process of hating. Would you teach a child to love by hating, beating, and rejecting it? Or by lovingly guiding it to experience its own inherent goodness? We are all children who can find our own inherent goodness, that goodness that is us. We can find that through loving kindness. Here's an exercise. Circumstances have made it necessary for you to be responsible for a newborn baby. Consider how you want that baby to be, how you want him or her to grow up, what kind of adult you want her or him to be. Consider what you will do and ways you will be to provide the best experience for the baby. Make some notes about that. And now, begin to do those things for yourself. It seems that we are stuck with needing to take responsibility for being loving and accepting, even of ourselves. Perhaps if we stopped feeling bad about what we did, there would be no reason to continue the behavior that leads to feeling bad. For example, if you stop indulging beatings for overeating, would you still overeat? Don't be quick to believe that you would eat everything in sight. You believe it, but that doesn't mean it's true. Find out. The worst that could happen is that you would overeat and go on a diet and lose the weight, and you know how to do that. Maybe, just maybe, when you start to love, support, and care about yourself, not in an egocentric sense, just as a basically kind, caring, decent person, you won't want to hurt your body anymore. Maybe you won't want to hate yourself or suffer by feeling inadequate and unattractive. Feeling better about yourself through compassion and acceptance is truly not egocentric. It's the first giant step away from egocentricity. Being kind to yourself lets you be kinder to others, and that just might be the finest gift you can give the world. Egocentricity, or self-indulgence, or selfishness, means satisfying one small part of yourself whose desire is temporary and fleeting. It's possible to do what is most compassionate for all the parts of yourself. Not indulging yourself doesn't mean never having an ice cream cone or a new car. It means not always having an ice cream cone or a new car every time you want one. There is a middle way that transcends always and never. We continue to choose our old ways, the ways that cause us to suffer, because they're familiar, safe, and comfortable. We know how to do that, and we know who we are when we're doing it. No risks here. Many of us have to be very miserable before we'll risk the insecurity of doing something different, of going against our conditioning, of letting go of our ideas about how life should be. We find our willingness to let go when we've suffered enough. We suffer because we cling. Suffering is caused by our unwillingness to accept what is. And that's okay. You don't have to feel bad for not having suffered enough. We suffer when we don't get what we want. We get what we want and are not satisfied with it. We're separated from those or that which we love. We must endure the presence of those or that which we do not love. When we see that the world we experience is created by our own projections and postures, we realize there is nothing out there to hold on to. If we believe there is, we've bought a bill of goods. Getting everything in the world doesn't protect us from suffering. It could all be gone tomorrow, today even. And just because you know this doesn't mean you're any less safe than you ever were. Now you can see how it is. No more reason to try to kid yourself. Might as well relax. Might as well let go. Nothing will be any worse. And it just might be a whole lot better. Just let go and fall up. There's no reason not to have it all. You need not waste your time trying to get rid of what you don't want in your life. Just add what you do want. If you think you'll be happier if you're single or have a new Rolls Royce, then be happier. Don't waste your time trying to get rid of your mate or trying to get a new car. Add what you really want. Happier. Our relationships with others are based on liking and disliking. More on disliking, it would seem, since of the people you've met, there are many more who are not still around than who are. So often, we look for the things we don't like about everything. How is it different from me? How is it other? How are we separate? Oh, I'm not like that. I would never do that. How can people be like that? I am like that. I'm seeing it, aren't I? The obvious conclusion of my judgments is that my way is better. I'm better, different, superior. And that separation causes my suffering. The good news is that the, in quotes, I who is judging is not who I authentically am. There's no reason, no need to make a contest out of anything. It is not necessary to demand that life be a certain way and then be unhappy when it's not. It's not necessary to be frustrated or angry or anxious or tense. We often are, but we don't have to be. Unhappiness is not a requirement. Unhappiness is the result of wanting something other than what is. And if you find yourself suffering because you've got something you don't want, if you can feel compassion for yourself for suffering, you'll cease to suffer. When you love yourself in your unhappiness, you're no longer suffering, you're loving. We're not suffering when we're loving. Remember, joy travels from the inside to the outside. Look for the joy in every moment. Exercise. See if you can find joy in doing something you've believed you can't enjoy. The problem is not with the what, the thing, the external. The problem is with us, with our own process of liking and disliking. We literally like and dislike ourselves to death. Stress is liking and disliking. If you have to eat custard, and custard is your very favorite thing in the world, you're in heaven. You're ecstatic. If you have to eat custard and you hate custard, despise it worse than anything, you're in hell. You're miserable. the problem is not with the custard. It's much easier to see that with custard than it is with the boss, the husband or wife, the in-laws, the government, etc. And it's no less true. Suffering is not a requirement. Letting go of liking and disliking is not a requirement. It's simply a way to end suffering. And you can know that as long as you cling to a fixed idea of how life needs to be, you're bound to suffer. Because much of the time, life just won't be the way you want it to be. Everything changes. Suffering is the result of clinging in an attempt to resist change. When we comprehend the process of suffering, how we do suffering, we're free to choose not to do it anymore. To do anything, there must be the willingness to do it. Achievement is commensurate with effort. Effort is commensurate with willingness. The only thing standing in your way is the what you decide is in your way, the what you see as in your way, the what you believe is in your way. If you didn't experience it as an obstacle, would it be one? An exercise. What are you experiencing as an obstacle in your life? What belief are you clinging to about how life should be that makes this an obstacle? What have you already decided about this obstacle? Its future, how things are going to be, etc. What are you getting out of having this obstacle in your life? Both positive and negative. What would happen if you let go? This little quiz is a formula that you can use to work on any situation. Given a choice, we will almost always choose our conditioned habits over what we know is best for us. For instance, I want to quit smoking, but it feels so uncomfortable when I stop. I want to meditate, but my thoughts drive me crazy when I sit. I want not to drink, but friends put so much pressure on me. I want to be a vegetarian, but the carnivore in me screams no. It's good to remember that no one ever died of uncomfortable. We always do what we are willing to do. We always have a choice. I can't is what we say to keep pretending that we are not responsible. Here's a definition of perfect trust. We always do what we want to do. When we start to use words like I choose and I choose not, we start to be honest with ourselves. Here's another little exercise. Think of three things that you can't do. It's helpful to keep these within the realm of possibility, not I can't flap my wings and fly. So the first one, I can't. And now repeat those same three with I won't. And now the same three with I choose not. This is your best opportunity. There will never be a better opportunity than this one. No better time, no better place, no better circumstance. Right here, right now, right this minute. If it's really a hard time for you, you're closest to the truth. When you're drowning, it's your best opportunity to learn to swim. Why? Because there's nothing else on your mind, nothing you need to get done first. It's your first priority, and we always do what is truly our first priority. Do not be confused by what you say is most important to you. Watch what you do. What you do is what's most important to you. If the answers were in the places you've been looking, for instance, externals, objective reality, you would already have found them. Obviously, if your life were completely happy, you wouldn't still be looking for answers. And yet our fear of doing something differently, of facing the unknown, of going against society's norms, of questioning our conditioning, is so great that we continue to follow the same patterns over and over, even when we know full well that they lead to unhappiness. We continue to choose our beliefs over our experience. A rat in a laboratory learns very quickly not to go down the tunnel if there's no longer cheese at the end. A human being will continue to go down the tunnel even though there never has been any cheese at the end. We can learn as much from what we reject as from what we accept. What you're pushing away might contain exactly the clue you've been looking for. Remember, if the answers you're seeking were in the places you've been looking, you would already have found them. Our defenses don't prove we need to be defended. They prove we are not taking care of ourselves. They prove we're not giving ourselves the love, compassion, and care we need. And the absence of that love, compassion, and care makes us feel very vulnerable. We've identified with a small, separate self who suffers, and we have forgotten that's not who we really are. That which you're seeking is causing you to seek. As long as you're looking outward, you're looking in the wrong direction. This is an equal opportunity life. We each have all we need in each moment. We can choose to let go and be free. When we begin to take responsibility, we're like the conductor of a large symphony orchestra. The various instruments are the parts of us, our ways of being, our needs, wants, moods, etc. The symphony is our life. Sometimes we see parts of ourselves that we decide are bad, wrong, and undesirable, and that they should be gotten rid of. This is like having the string section hear the cymbals and say, Oh, no, that sounds awful. We've got to get rid of that noise. All we need are stringed instruments because they sound so beautiful. Beauty clearly being in the ear of the beholder. But an orchestra made up of only stringed instruments would be lacking, incomplete. It could make many beautiful sounds, but it couldn't make all music. Only one section of instruments could hate another. The conductor can hear the beauty in all and knows that each is essential to the whole. When we need a drum roll in life, a violin simply won't do. So even though we were taught to believe we need to hold on to this and push that away, it's simply not true. When we hear all the instruments playing together in harmony, we will be very grateful that we could not get rid of even the smallest, apparently most insignificant piece. Our lives can be different in any moment we choose to change our choices. When we're too busy to pay attention, we're choosing ignorance. Here's a practice. If you want to call yourself a tennis player, You can borrow a racket and a few balls and go out and hit the balls with the racket. If you want to play tennis, you buy a racket, take some lessons, and play when you have time. If you want to play tennis well, you find a teacher, take lessons, practice, and play regularly. If you want to be a master tennis player, you find a teacher, absorb every bit of guidance, practice every possible moment, and devote your entire life to your training. Our lives are as they are because we choose them. We want to say, oh, but I don't have time to pay attention. I'm too busy to be aware. That's okay. It's just good to know who is making the decisions. Your life is not beyond you. And remember, practice only when you want to, never because you should. Not to worry. There's nothing to worry about. No urgency. No hurry. When you're tired enough of struggling, of suffering, of being unhappy, you'll stop. One day, you'll be different. It will be like walking around a corner or turning on a light. Everything will be different, and nothing will have changed. Someday you'll do it. When you're tired enough of struggling, of suffering, of being unhappy. Or you could just do it now. How? How do you do it? How do you let go? How do you accept? How do you stop suffering? How do you find compassion? How do you learn to love? How? Well, how did you learn to walk? Did someone tell you about the muscles and bones and tendons and blood in your legs? Did someone explain how the muscles in your torso and arms and legs work together and how messages come into and go out of your brain and how? Or did you one day decide that you wanted to get up and go so badly that nothing could stop you? No fear or pain or ignorance or insecurity. You wanted to walk, and the only way to do it was to get up and do it. That's how. Continue at the beginning. Thanks for listening.